Hi folks, this is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 75. For those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that when I talk about guitars and amps and pedals and music and all, I am conveying my opinion from my experience and learning over the years. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast. Chime in with comments and such on the blog or the Facebook page, but first you have to follow us on the Facebook, or follow me on the Facebook page. There's no us really to this thing. But there's a nice little community growing there, and people are sharing their photos and videos and comments and feedback to my little quips and things on there. Last but not least, go to theguitarpodcast.net and sign up for email alerts, where you'll get emails notifying you when a new episode's been released and other timely information regarding the Guitar Podcast. All right, let's get to it. Today, I really don't know what I'm going to talk about, so just hang on and enjoy the ride. You know, typically, I don't ever say what the day is, the date of the recording is, because just trying to be, just information that isn't quite so timely, or you know, that like news and such, but I kind of try to have stuff that you can refer back to at any time in the future. Like a voice from the past or whatever, like a book or whatever, you know. But my question for you is, would it help you if I said at the very beginning, this is episode 75 and the date, today's date, and so on and so forth? Would that help you for a reference, a point of reference of when this episode is out? I've never done it before. I just wonder what you guys think. Feel free to comment on, email me or comment on the Facebook page. I'll probably throw out a question out there too to kind of prompt you all. But I was curious about that because, you know, you may be listening to this, a year or two down the line and go, man, he's talking about something it's kind of old news, man. And then you'll look at your episode note and it'll say the date and everything, or the show notes page, and it'll say the date and you'll go, oh. Or maybe you just overlook it completely and go, man, the guy's just an idiot. But, or way behind. So, just curious about that. Next, I want to tell you that I'm going on a guitar road trip on Monday with some buddies to RS Guitar Works, and I think they're in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm just going along for the ride. I'm really excited about it. And if everything goes right, we're going to swing back through Cincinnati on the way back home and visit somebody kind of who has some interesting connections, I might say. So I'll be providing information or kind of reporting on that trip next episode, or an episode or two down the line, and you may see some videos from the trip. I'm pretty excited about it. So on that note, I'd really encourage you to go and take some time and do some of these things, and visit some of these out-of-the-way kind of places that may not be right in your backyard or in your town or city or whatever. And I know some of you probably live in rural areas where there's not a whole lot there, and you have to take a good drive to get to see something kind of interesting like that, or one of the big box stores. But, I encourage you that, go ahead and go to as cool as places like Sam Ash and Guitar Center are, with all the resources they have and all the cool new instruments and everything. Go to some places that are smaller, and you never know what you're going to find in these places, whether it's used or new stuff, or maybe it's a boutique shop, and you just, check them out. And what I'm going to start doing is kind of looking at a radius around where I live and just start, looking, say 10 mile radius looking at a 10-mile radius of my house and start visiting guitar stores around there that I may have missed or didn't even know about. And then expand that out to like a 15 or 20, 25, depending on the number of guitar stores that show up. And try to kind of bunch them up into like a round, kind of a round trip, road trip to some of these places. Of course, I live near Indianapolis, and there's a lot of guitar stores around Indianapolis. I know we're a small city, big town, something like that. We're not a large market. We're not like Boston, New York, LA, or San Diego, or anything like that. But we do have a lot of cool stuff here, so it's quite a bit different than it was when I was in high school and stuff, and there were only a few guitar stores around town. And anyway, so I'd suggest you do that. I'm going to start doing it, and you know, going around trying to do that radius type of a round trip, road trip, guitar shops. And see if there are any builders in your area. Check them out and everything. And you know, some of these shops, you know, I'm pretty much just going in to look around and have a good time, visit with people, and learn more about guitars and maybe play a few, but not a whole lot, because, you know, I don't want to dirty up the guitars and wear them out and not buy them unless there's something that's just screaming, "Lauren, you got to have me." You know how that is. I know you know how that is. I know how you guys are. You're a lot like me, and I'm a lot like you. We love guitars, and we fall in love easily, and then we're spending more money than we need to, and then we're in trouble with our wives, right? Or spouses, if there are girls listening. So whenever, you know, like the big box stores, I wouldn't worry about this so much, but the smaller mom-and-pop stores, you know, if you're going in and visiting, you know, buy a pack of strings, some picks, a little something or other. Just, you know, show your appreciation for what they're doing, and you know, just spend a little bit of money there. I went to a guitar shop up in Milwaukee last year, and I plan to go again this summer when we go up to for the fantasy football draft with my brother-in-law, and visited with these guys. They're really cool in Milwaukee. It's Wade's Guitar Shop. Perhaps you've heard of them, whether you live in the area or not. They have a cool podcast, a video podcast. It's a guitar shop podcast, and they're real nice guys. Met them last year, and they were pretty cool, and I really probably should have bought a pack of strings at minimum from them, you know? So plan to do a little something like that next time, just to kind of, you know, help the cause a little bit, however small that may be. It's not like buying a guitar or anything, but, you know, hey, do what you can, right? So then, a friend of mine shared a video with me on YouTube, and I'm not going to name the guitar shop or who this guy is who is featured in this video or who created this video. But I do want to talk about some of the things in this video, because I did post this on the Facebook page. And I'm going to feature it in the show notes too. But it opens up, and the guy is, he runs this shop, and somebody brought in like a late 60s, early 70s Fender, like Champ or Prince and Reverb, a little old Fender amp, a nice hand-wired, point-to-point. It's not on a PC board or anything like that. It's a really cool amp, but it has some issues, and the owner wants him to look into it, and this guy opens up the amp and starts noodling around in it and does some dangerous things, which could electrocute him, could shock him, but pretty much could kill him. And then he's noodling around in there and doing some things that could potentially damage the amp, not only him, but the amp itself. And he says some rather profound things that are completely not, well, they're not correct. And Now, I'm not the only one who's saying things. You know, I didn't comment on the comments below on the Facebook, on the YouTube page of this video, but plenty of other people have, and there's quite an education to be had by reading them. When you read them, just keep in mind that there's some creative language being used there, and or colorful language, I might say, being used on some of the comments, just because some of the things that this guy is saying is pretty outrageous. But I'd recommend you watching the video in its entirety and reading all the comments, and unless you are completely offended by certain vulgar words that would be used by some of the commenters. But there's a lot to be learned there, and a lot of things to point out to, you know, what you would think about with your amp in repairs, or what you may be hearing, and then the feedback that you would hear from a potential repairman if you took your amp into them to repair. One thing I do want to comment on that just bothers me to no end, and I believe I've commented on this before, is one of the things the guy said was, hey, this resistor needs replaced, and he said why, and all these things, and just like, his reasoning didn't make sense to me at all. But I am not an amp tech, but I think I know enough about amps and guitars that if you run your amp hot with a lot of distortion, that it's not like bad on your resistors and wears them down faster and stuff like that. I thought that was just outrageous. I thought, you know, if a resistor is bad, it's just old and went bad. So, I don't know. But I guess don't quote me on that, because I'm not an amp tech. But I'm just saying, sometimes you might want to get a second opinion from some of these guys. They start throwing out some of the things you'll hear in this video from this guy. And the thing is, if you don't know, he sounds like, oh yeah, he knows what he's talking about. And he's making good recommendations. He knows, right? But if you read those comments below, you totally see that he's way, 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 way off base. Another thing he says, he's looking at all of them. He says, well, this one needs replaced and this one needs replaced, and this is what I would charge for it. And what he's saying he would charge for it seems pretty steep to me. To touch up some soldering joints and replace a resistor, it seems real expensive. Maybe, you know, the part of the country where they are, maybe that's the going rate, but I know in Indy it's not. And, you know, Midwest things are a little, the cost of living is cheaper here. It's the way it ought to be, folks. And the thing that just fried my brain when I heard him say this is he said, you know, what I would recommend is just replacing all the resistors and capacitors and all the stuff that's in here. You know, put it all brand new stuff, and I'd do it for like about $300. And that may sound steep, but you know, if it's like it'd be like a boutique amp and all it. What? It's already a boutique amp in a way, because it's a vintage amp, point to point wiring. You know, it does one thing and does it well. You know, there's nothing wrong with these other components. Why replace them? Part of the vintage vibe of it and the tone of it are these vintage components. You know, only if it... Oh, man. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Man, you just... He was saying, like, he's turning this vintage amp into a boutique amp, and that would make it better. And here's a clue. Boutique amps are imitating what was going on in the vintage amp market. For the most part, they're chasing that ghost, that magic that was happening in England in the 60s and 70s, and the magic that was happening in Fullerton, California, with Fender amps, with Fender musical instruments. That's the magic they're chasing, folks, at Vox in the 60s. That's what they're doing. Because a lot of these amps are made with PC boards and so on, and all these different channels, and it just, I mean, it fits its bill, right? You know, if that's the tone you're looking for. But if you're wanting that vintage vibe, that vintage sound, that vintage tone, that's why the boutique amps exist. That's why that market exists, because people are looking for that. and they're willing to pay a little more than what your standard assembly line amp costs. And if that's a little more than your assembly line amp costs and less than a 59 basement amp costs, then, you know, and new components, but high quality new components hand wired point to point, then you're getting this, there's a value there. There's certainly a value there. So, I don't know, that just bugged me probably the most. I mean, yeah, I didn't like it. He was poking around in there and could have killed himself on camera. And the recommendation he made to just the different things he was saying and how he was positioning himself as an expert on amp repair and everything, and he was just making so many mistakes and so many basically fails on this video. That was one thing, but whenever you're gonna ruin a nice, beautiful vintage amp by replacing all the internal components, man, it just drives me nuts. All right, so I'm sure there are some people out there who will disagree with me and say, yeah, it's a good idea to do all that, but man, I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all. And it's one of those things where you're not going to change my mind on that. I'm going to stand firm on it. Books I've read on and articles I've read on amp repair and components pretty much all agree, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Only replace what is broken in those vintage amps and let it roll, man. Let it roll. So, I'm sorry. I had to rant on that. I slowly ramped up into being a little emotional on that. But, doggone. They're not making these amps anymore. Why you want to screw it up? Don't screw them up. Just don't. Don't mess up a good vintage amp. But is you're going to put all new stuff in it. You know, I don't know. I mean, if all the components inside the amp were all blown and burnt and just old and rotten and cracking and crumbling and everything like that, totally understand. Okay, at some point, and some of the other parts may have had undue stress on them because of the other components that are going bad or whatever, but that you may want to consider replacing everything that's in there. But at that point, you know, I would certainly recommend, if you have come to that conclusion that there is no other way but to replace everything that's in the amp, to use high quality, high end resistors, capacitors, all that stuff. Just, you know, the best you can get. Not from Radio Shack, folks. Not from Radio Shack. There's plenty of great resources out there to get really nice high-end electronic components for your replacement parts for your vintage amps. If you're into that sort of thing. But, man. Sorry, folks. But it's kind of my public service announcement to you all about, you know, that video just got me all riled up, and obviously it got a lot of other people riled up on several different levels, but that was the biggest thing that bothered me. It's like taking a pristine 57 Chevy Bel Air and saying, okay, well, looking under the hood, it's not quite running right, and it just needs a tune-up. And maybe a piston ring or two or something like that. I don't know. I'm not as much of a gearhead as I'd love to be. But, you know, say there's something like that and the guy says, and your mechanic comes back and says, we need to totally rebuild the engine with all new parts and on and on and on. It just, I don't know. That just, come on, man. Come on. I'm sorry, maybe that wasn't the best analogy, but I think you get what I'm driving at. You know, you take something that's really fine in its day, and there are very few of them left. They only made so many of them, and you're just going to mess it up. Don't mess it up. All right, I guess I'll step down from my soapbox for now. All right, so this next story I'm going to try to convey the best that I can, because it was actually told to me from a friend from Mike at the guitar shop about a customer who was bringing in a guitar to get restrung and set up and so on and so forth. Anyway, as Mike tells me, gets a phone call from a guy who bought a brand new Gibson SG. He says that it's brand new, not a mark on it, not a scratch, not a ding, nothing. And he wants new strings and setup, full setup, be sure the intonation's good and everything like that. But it has no case, and therefore he doesn't want to leave it overnight or anything. And so Mike says, hey, that's cool. Why don't you, do you have time now or today or whatever? Bring it in. I'll set it up while you wait. And so then the guy shows up with the guitar so that Mike can do the restring and set up and all that good stuff. And he takes one look at it and realizes that it's not a real Gibson. It's a fake from, well, made in China. Obviously, not an enviable place to be in either one of their shoes. I'm sure that it was a very difficult situation for Mike to be in, to have to tell the customer that, hey, this isn't a real Gibson. It was not made in USA. In Nashville, it wasn't. It's made in China. This is fake. And I don't know. I didn't get more details from him about how he delivered the news. But I'm sure that not an easy conversation. And then to be in the customer's shoes, to be standing there holding a guitar that they thought was the real deal, and all, you know, being very proud of and happy about this new purchase, which, you know, they're not cheap. I'm sure even, you know, it's really tough in this day and age to think about spending a lot of money on a guitar, anything over $300 or $500 or up to $1,000 or more on a guitar, and may have thought he was getting a deal on a great guitar, brand new, and then come to find out that, you know, if it's too good to be true, it usually is. And I don't know all the details there, but I can imagine several scenarios as to how he may have been tricked into purchasing this guitar that wasn't the real deal. But some things that I'd like to, you know, I'm not going to outline every single detail that you need to look for when purchasing a Gibson, and to be sure that it's made in Nashville, USA, Nashville, Tennessee in the USA, and not China, you know, those guitars may be fine guitars, but if they're being sold as USA, you know, USA guitars, and there's just something very wrong with that, in my opinion. And so, I mean, it needs to be stated, or the customer needs to know that is not a USA made Gibson electric guitar. It's made in China. It's a fake. And I'm not sure exactly why they can get away with this, and why they aren't able to sue them, you know, for this copyright infringement. You know, Ibanez and Takamine in the 70s were both sued by Gibson and Martin, respectively, for making guitars that were so very similar to Gibson or Martin guitars. Now, why can't Gibson go after this Chinese company who's making guitars with the Gibson name on it nonetheless? I don't know. I think I'm going to have to do some digging, and if any of you know, please feel free to share, and I'll disseminate that information throughout on a future episode. But there's something really fishy here whenever the law has been so different after 30 years, or that, you know, we can't, you know, that Gibson can't go after this company, or hasn't gone after this company, or maybe it's just that, you know, the CEO has enough on his hands with imported woods that, I don't know. I think that those two things would be first and foremost. I think people faking my guitars would be a big thing I would want to shoot down. I'd want to have my best and brightest of my legal team on that. Anyway, I digress. Some ways to be sure that you are not getting a fake Gibson electric guitar made in China. One, if it's being sold to you as a used guitar, it's a different story. But what I'm focusing on is brand new guitars, no blemishes, no marks, no scratches, dings, or anything like that. Because that's basically how these are being sold, to the best of my knowledge. So, who are you buying this guitar from? Are you buying it from a reputable, certified Gibson retailer? Whether it's Musician's Friend or Guitar Center or anybody else or a smaller shop, are they a certified Gibson retailer? Or are they somebody else that's just like, hey, yeah, I got this guitar, it's brand new, it's the only one they have? And at that point, if they are not a certified Gibson retailer, then your radar should go up. You need to take a closer look at this guitar before buying it, or even really seriously considering buying it. Second, the guitar had no case. Was sold with no case. Any good Gibson electric guitar will be sold with a case. Now, if it's a more of a budget range guitar, it's still going to have a gig bag. So to be brought in without a case, to be purchased without a case, out of door, at the retailer, without a case, there's another thing that would raise my fake radar. And so then those are so two things right off the bat that would make me suspicious. Something else, whenever you look at the actual guitar, let's start at the headstock. And I'm not going to cover every single little detail on those guitars that make them, that reveal that they are fakes. Because you can't look at the made-in or made-on or whatever, any of that information, because best of my knowledge is they totally say made in USA or made in America, that sort of thing on them. So it's a complete and utter lie. The whole guitar is a lie. It's not a Gibson, it's not made in USA, it's not the real deal. So then, if you start at the headstock, look at the Gibson logo. I'd say before you're really in the market to purchase a Gibson, any major purchase like that, still I recommend that you look at it, if you feel really good about the guitar, you know, don't purchase it right then and there. Go home, especially, even you're talking like $1,000 or more or whatever, $500 or more, and that's a significant purchase. You want to know as much as you possibly can about the guitar before you buy it. Again, I think I've said this before that you want to be, I recommend being as much of an expert on that piece of gear before the point of purchase as you can, so that you know you're making a wise purchase. So, back to the point here. Say, I go in and I see this guitar and it's priced very well and it looks great. It's all shiny and pretty and perfect. And then I look at it and I'm like, okay, this is a great price on a great guitar and I'm really interested in it. I like the way it plays, I like the way it sounds. So then, but I don't know as much about Gibson guitars is maybe the next guy. So I go home and I go to the Gibson website and I look for that specific guitar. Say it's a Les Paul Custom. Say it's a Les Paul Standard. Or say it's a Traditional. Or it's a SG Standard. Or a 61 Reissue. Or so on and so forth. I look at that guitar in detail. And if I don't see anything that's near what the guitar that's being sold to me is on the website, again, suspicion is aroused there. I'm very suspicious of this guitar. So then you look at the headstock on real Gibson guitars, and you'll find that the top where they have, it looks like an open book cut on the very top above the emblem at the very end of the guitar. There's the way it's cut there is kind of rounded on top, so it's higher in the middle than it is on the sides. On these fakes, it's fairly flat, straight across. Also, you'll find discrepancies in the logo as well. Then, which may not be as obvious. Now, I have a history in graphic design, and so I'm very detail oriented. I can usually spot when a brand has been modified or manipulated or screwed with or faked or whatever. So I'm not going to focus too much on that, but if you have an eye, that kind of eye for detail, then you'll see it. So on to the next thing is, it's really easy to see, is the tuners. True Gibson tuners will be all in a straight line. Three on one side, three on the other, and they will be a straight line. However, these fakes, they will be curved. The middle tuners will be slightly inset from the others. There will be a curve. It'll follow the curvature of the outside of the headstock. Really good way of seeing how that is. The last way I want to show that you can see how these guitars aren't quite right is, and is a little more obvious too, is look on the body where the volume and tone knobs are. The volume and tone knobs will be a perfect diamond shape. Almost like a leaning trapezoid. I don't know what that shape perfectly, what it actually is, but it will be perfectly measured. These Chinese guitars are not perfectly measured, and they're skewed a little bit, and they're just not right. So look at those things, and then look at a real Gibson model that you're looking for, that you're looking to buy, that they're trying to sell you. Look at it on the website. Look at it very closely. Maybe even print out a picture of it and bring it in with you when you're at point of purchase, if you really think that you're going to purchase this guitar, and look at it point for point against this guitar that's being sold to you, and you will see the differences. Be very, very careful with this, because there are a lot of them out there and a lot of people being fooled by this, and I don't want you to be fooled by this. I understand... I mean, this is our hard-earned money, and we're wanting to buy something of high quality that we know what you expect from Gibson USA, and you're not honestly getting that from these Chinese imports. You're not getting that warranty. You're not getting that assurance. You're not getting the true tradition of Gibson guitars from that, from a fake. So I hope that helped. I'll provide some links to some resources on the show notes page. And please, please, please be very careful out there. It's very hard for people to duplicate these guitars. They're not doing a very good job, but still people are getting fooled. At least in the 70s, Ibanez had their logo on it. It said Ibanez. It clearly said Ibanez and didn't say Gibson. At least in the 70s, Takamine clearly said Takamine guitars and didn't say Martin on them. And honestly, the way they were building their guitars, they could have done it and come very close to pulling it off. Only difference I've seen in the Ibanez Gibson fakes were that they were bolt-on necks and not dovetail joint neck through bodies. I mean, there are other minor things, but they were pretty much, they looked right. But anyway, at least they were honest about it, saying that, hey, this is not a Gibson, this is not a Martin, this is a This is an Ibanez guitar. This is a Takamine guitar, you know. But these folks in China are not, or whoever's funding this, whoever's behind this, is not. They're not being honest. They're not being straightforward. And quite honestly, it pisses me off. And I don't want you guys to be duped. I don't want you taken. Because even if it's a even if it's $700 for this guitar that you think is a Gibson SG or a Les Paul or whatever, I'm sure it's not worth $700. Anyway. Oh, and if it's a Gibson SG or Les Paul and it has a bolt-on neck, it is not a Gibson USA guitar. That's another great way to find out. Anyway, again, I will share show notes regarding this topic on the show notes page for your review, and there are a lot of resources out there. I'm sure if you went to the My Les Paul forum that you'll find stuff there, and I'll probably link to threads there. But Google fake Gibson, Chinese fake Gibson, and you'll see plenty. So anyway, I'm hoping that helps out. I don't think this is the first time I've brought it up, but I just wanted to cover this again. Even if I've covered it in detail before, it's still going on. I don't believe they're going to stop. But I don't want, even a retailer, if you're a retailer and you're listening to this, I mean, I would presume that you already would be able to pick one out because of your expertise as a guitar retailer to know that this isn't a real Gibson SG. Because Mike runs a used guitar shop, for crying out loud. He's not even a Gibson retailer, certified Gibson retailer. But he knows, because he knows and loves guitars, just like you and me. And he doesn't want people to be ripped off. And that's why we love Mike. So anyway, I should have talked to Mike a little more about it last night, but we got to playing guitars and having a great time. And after hours, shop hours, we just started playing some Pink Floyd and Beatles songs. And what else did we play? I don't even remember. We played a bunch of Beatles songs and a bunch of Pink Floyd songs and sharing ideas and thoughts and how these chords are constructed and just having a good old time. Anyway, it's pretty much all I have to say about that. If Mike would love to comment on the Facebook page regarding this and the show notes or whatever, that'd be great. I know Mike's a great listener, great contributor to the show, and so that's that. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for episode 75. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. I'm sorry, at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Comment on the blog show notes. If you liked what you heard today and you subscribe using iTunes or Zune, please let them know by writing a review. Thanks for tuning in again. This is Lauren Hunt signing off for the Guitar Podcast.